If you'd like a book from Sammy Tippett, you just come and see me. Now, as the pastor of Bethel Baptist Church, we stand by the King James Version of the Bible. And when I recopy this and hand it to you in this, I change it to King James Version. And the reason we can't do this is because, in this book, is because somebody else wrote it and they have the copyright to it and they've given us permission to print it and to give it. So, if you're going to read it on your own, have your King James Bible with you and turn to the passages and read it. We are King James Bible believing, and we believe that the King James is the English word for the English speaking the Word of God. All right? So, I want to make that very clear to everyone. So, the secret of prayer. A young man had been called to the foreign field. He had not been in the habit of preaching, but he knew one thing, how to prevail with God. And going one day to a friend, he said, "I don't see how God can use me on the field. I have no special talent." His friend said, "My brother, God wants men on the field who can pray. There are too many preachers now and too few prayers." He went. In his own room in the early dawn, a voice was heard weeping and pleading for souls. All through the day, the shut door and the hush that prevailed made you feel like walking softly, for a soul was wrestling with God. Yet to his home, hungry souls would flock, drawn by some irresistible power. Ah, the mystery was unlocked. In the secret chamber, lost souls were pleaded for and claimed. The Holy Ghost knew just where they were and sent them along, by J. Hudson Taylor. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, and as I read through this chapter that spoke to my heart, and then I saw the insufficiency in my own life when it comes to prayer, I could not but be humbled, but also encouraged by those of old that have seen your blessing because of prayer. And what a wicked world we live in, and at any time in our history, it feels like this would be the time that Christians and pastors should get serious about prayer. And God, help us to become serious. There's so much that allures us. There's so much that would take our souls away from you and take our, not souls as our eternal man, I'm talking more of our feelings. There's so much that would feed our desires in this world, but help us to, as a deer pants after the water brook, to pant after you through our prayer lives. God, bless this time that we meet together. May your presence be evident, and may your power be given. In Jesus' name, amen. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. Sammy Tippett, so when he says, "I have been in full-time evangelist ministry," obviously he's talking of himself. So we'll read this as if Sammy Tippett was here reading it to us. "I've been in full-time evangelist ministry for 10 years when I began to realize some deep needs in my life. I'd written 4 books and had been the subject of numerous magazine and newspaper articles by the time I was 30. It seemed it was at the beginning of, I was at the beginning of a great future as an evangelist. I had seen many evangelists rise quickly as flaming stars, but just as quickly as they had risen, they were gone. I didn't want to be in that category, but something was bothering me. My ministry had grown larger than my character. I realized that God loved me and wanted to conform me to the image of His Son. Though difficult for me to admit, somewhere in my ministry, I had ceased to grow." And Christian, that could be said of all of us, right? We all have a ministry, and sometimes we cease growing in our ministry. Back to the book. "During the summer of 1977, I led a team of young witnessing and preaching throughout Europe. Then my family and I spent a week camping at Mosel River in Germany. It was great to relax with my wife, Tex, and our son and daughter, Dave and Renee. It gave Tex and me a lot of time to share our deep feelings with one another. God was speaking to me. I had just read The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. I was so unlike that humble servant of God. I felt a tremendous tendency towards pride, and I knew nothing of the depth of the prayer Brainerd had experienced. I told Text I wish I could pastor a little country church where no one had heard of me. Then perhaps I could have the time to develop in a deeper walk with God. We prayed and placed our lives at God's disposal. Within a year, I was invited to become the pastor of Hen Baptist Church near Hen Air Base in West Germany. The church was made up primarily of American military personnel stationed in Germany. It was about as deep in the country as one can get. Hen comes from the German word Hähnchen, which means chicken. In essence, I became the pastor of Chicken Baptist Church. Within 3 years, I experienced a tremendous work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I developed some of the sweetest friendships I had ever known. But most important, I emerged from the pastorate with a touch of God on my inner being. I came to know a more intimate fellowship with God than ever. Some could not understand my decision to leave my evangelistic endeavors to pastor this small congregation. But I wouldn't exchange the experience for anything. God had much to teach me. The first lesson was in the area of prayer. God had to teach me that every victory of eternal value has to be won in prayer. One Sunday night, I announced that I would meet on Thursday at 6 a.m. with any men eager to develop their walks with God. About 20 men began meeting with me, but the number eventually dwindled to about 12. I told the men that if we didn't learn anything else, I wanted us to learn how to pray effectively. As I reflect on those meetings, tears come to my eyes. The awesomeness and goodness of God was revealed to us. Prayer partners were formed, and each of us began to develop a quality time alone with God. The more we learned to pray, the more we saw the provision and power of God. We were beginning to learn how to communicate with the Father. I wanted us to learn how to communicate with men. I taught the men a simple four-step outline to share the testimony of what Christ had done in their lives. They were to practice by sharing it with their wives. The next Thursday, we prayed for opportunities to share with someone who didn't know Christ. Later during the morning, I received a call from one of the men, Ken Lieberg. An attorney in a great position to witness of Jesus. Every person at the base who had a legal problem had to see Ken. Sam, can you be in my office at 10:30? It's very important. I arrived to find a man sitting across from Ken. He was an alcoholic, being discharged from the military because of alcoholic-related problems. After Ken had advised him, he asked, "Are you getting help for your alcohol problem? I've tried all programs, but nothing seems to help." Ken took out his little four-point outline. "This is off the record, and you can tell me to stop at any time, but let me tell you what happened in my life." To Ken's utter surprise, the man said, "That's what I've been searching for. I want Christ in my life." We prayed together, and the man gave his heart to Jesus. Later, Ken told me, "You didn't tell us what to do if someone wanted to invite Christ into his life. And I didn't think God would answer my prayer so soon." Later, we would laugh about that. The new convert's squadron commander was impressed. He asked if he could send more people to Ken. The following Sunday, there were 6 new families in church, all a direct result of Ken's testimony. Just very quickly, the power of prayer is what we're trying to get across here. And we leave the results up to God, but we praise Him for those results when they come. Every man in our Thursday morning gathering had similar experiences. The church began to grow and eventually went to multiple service on Sunday mornings. The church won to Christ and baptized more people than ever in her history. And it was not because of some church growth formula. It was because men had learned to pray. My wife mobilized the women in prayer and discipleship. Our goals were to establish small groups and discipleship meetings to help every believer have a prayer partner and to develop in each a private prayer life. When the winds of revival blow across the church or community, there is always a revival of the prayer meetings. People come together to seek God's glory. Wells experienced a remarkable outpouring of God's Spirit in 1904 to 1905. One of God's instruments was a young preacher, Evan Roberts. Roberts was warned by a deacon at his church not to miss the prayer meetings in case the Holy Spirit would come and you would be missing. Robert prayed for 13 years for an awakening. When the awakening did come, it was wrought and sustained by prayer. One can sometimes discern the spiritual depth of a work, but what it takes to get a large audience. In America, we have bowed to the God of entertainment. If we want a crowd, we bring in professional entertainers. We now even have musicians and comedians who see themselves as Christian entertainers. They may bless some Christians, but this will not produce an awakening that will shake the nation. A politician fiddled while Rome burned, and he blamed the Christians. Today, Christians entertain while the world burns, and we blame the politicians. That's a pretty powerful statement. Let me just stop really quick and say, could the problems that we're going through, of course, are end day problems, I believe, but some of it has to do with the lack of prayer from me and us. Okay? We must see that the battle is the Lord's. The enemy is not politicians, humanists, or liberals. The enemy is that angel of light who deceives the nations. He can be defeated only by the kneeling church. As the church bows to the Lordship of Christ, we are more than conquerors. Did we not just sing about that? Conquering on and still to conquer by changing the politicians. Is that what we said? That wasn't in the book. That was free. The victorious church around the world is on her knees in prayer meetings. In Korea, thousands of Christians come together at 5 a.m. to pray. When the church in the West begins to rise from her slumber early to seek his face, we too will experience revival. We have developed a commitment rooted in comfort and convenience rather than in the cross. All of us. We can look at other people, but all of us love our comfort. And all of us love the convenience that are surrounded. And I'm not saying get rid of your comfort or convenience. What I am saying is we're called to carry our cross. And many times the carrying of the cross is carried in our prayer lives many times. Churches are filled on Sunday mornings, but Sunday evenings we normally find only a sparse crowd and only a handful attended prayer meetings. Where are the men and women willing to wrestle in prayer for the souls of mankind? Andrew Murray said, God's child can conquer everything by prayer. Is it any wonder that Satan does his utmost to snatch the weapon from the Christians or hinder him from the use of it? How many of you have ever tried to time yourself while you pray and you start to pray and you pray everything you can think of and you look up and it's only been 10 minutes. And then there's a hardship in your life and you get down on your knees and you start praying and all time seems to be very non-existent, right? The church must be awakened to the power of this weapon. No dictator, government, or foe will be able to stand against it. I don't have my phone on me. But there's a text given to me this week about what the world looks like and the attack on Israel and Russia and Ukraine ramping up and everything that's going on the world stage, which I think we know, we should know, we shouldn't be blind, but that should cause us to double our prayer, to double our concerns, that God would first give us, look, church, your pastor needs a revival, and you need a revival. We need a revival in our personal lives and in our corporate assembly. A friend who ministered in Eastern Europe visited a Romanian church. He and a team of preachers arrived unannounced for the worship service. The entire congregation was praying when the team walked in, and immediately the congregation began to weep and praise God. The pastor asked my friend to preach. He spoke with great power and saw much fruit. At the close of the service, the pastor shared with my friend what had happened. An American team of preachers had been conducting evangelistic meetings in the church that week, and had great success and saw the blessings of the Lord. However, the night before my friend's arrival, the secret police interrogated the Americans, sent them to Bucharest, and then deported them. They left the church without an evangelist for the remainder of the week. So the congregation gathered to ask God to send one. Just as they were praying, my friend walked in. There was great reason for weeping and rejoicing. This church had her eyes fixed on Jesus. She saw him, a loving, wonderful, conquering Savior. Rulers who try to destroy the church will be rendered helpless in the face of prayer. The praying church is a church that will invade Satan's territory and return with spoils of victory. It is the praying church that will win the world to Jesus. We need congregations who make prayer a priority. No one has written about prayer with the inspiration of E.M. Bounds. It has been said of him, Edward McKendry, Bounds did not merely pray well that he might write well about prayer. He prayed because the needs of the world were upon him. Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore. Jesus knew that the secret to conquering the multitudes for his glory was in the prayer closet of his disciples. I consider two men prayer partners at an Baptist church. They were Don Shelton, a deacon, and Kenton Lieberg, the attorney. Ken was a runner. He asked if we could get together a couple times a week to run. I would have said no. He wanted to be discipled, and through running might provide time for that kind of relationship. I agreed to run with Ken, even though I was just a jogger. He was much faster than I. I devised a plan to slow him down. We would memorize scripture while we ran, choosing only verses that I already knew. While he was running, he repeated the scripture over and over. My strategy worked. It slowed Ken down. The first verse he memorized was Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Look, I think that's a promise to us today. It's not just for Israel, that's for us. Many times we would pray together and claim that verse. We dreamed of how we could reach entire nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we dreamed of reaching entire continents and even the world. When burdens became too great for us, we claimed Jeremiah 33:3. On occasions, the presence of God was so real that we would begin to shout praises to him. The greatest and deepest friendships are born in prayer. Ken had a hill that he loved to run, a steep quarter mile that taught me a lot about prayer. It was so hard to climb that I called it difficulty. When we would climb difficulty, Ken would shout in true military fashion, up the hill, over the hill, through the hill, conquer the hill. Come on, Sam, you can do it. Ken would be at the top when I was only halfway. Remember the verse, Sam. You can conquer the hill. A prayer partner stands with us in the face of difficulty and encourages us to look up. He climbs the hill and tells us that God can give us strength to do the same. When we come into a spiritual agreement with our prayer partner, the power of heaven is released. Jesus said again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by the Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Let me stop here. Guys, we have friends that we can talk to, that we call, that we like to spend time with. Do you know what we desperately need in our lives? Friends that will pray with us. A true friend will pray and share and see God work through hardships. They'll share their burdens, but it's not in a complaining way. They share their burdens so that they can pray together and they, by faith, can claim the promises of God and see the hand of God working in their life. Not saying this by experience, I'm saying this by faith. I would like to experience this, wouldn't you? One of the most powerful preachers in the Western world in the last 150 years was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. In the mid-1800s, at the age of 19, Spurgeon shook London with his preaching. After D.L. Moody visited England, he asked, "Did you hear Sermon preach?" He responded, "Yes, but better still, I heard him pray." The Western world today does not need better preachers. Remember that, Bethel Baptist Church. You don't need a better preacher. Job security for me. What you do need is a better prayer as a pastor. We need prayers. Samuel Chadwick said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toils, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray." It is interesting that the disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to pray, but they did ask him to teach them. No, it is interesting that the disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to preach, but they did ask him to teach them to pray. Jesus taught the one secret of powerful praying is simply to pray in secret. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now that is personal. That's personal. Well, guess what else it could be applied to, Bethel? It could be applied to the church body. There's nothing wrong with us as church body people coming together, finding a prayer partner, and praying together in secret. That's fine. All right? What they're talking about is don't be like the hypocrites. I'm teaching right now. Don't be like the hypocrites that get in front of everybody and just pray to look good. Okay? That's not going to work. That's not what God is looking for. It is in the secret chamber that we really get to know God. The greatest command in Scripture is to love God. When we love someone, we want to spend time alone with that person to get to know him better and increase our capacity to love him. Do you love God? Do you? If so, how much time do you spend with him? Listen to this next phrase. Can we really love him if we spend too little time with him? Is that a convicting phrase? That's a convicting paragraph to me. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords invites us to private meeting with himself every day. It is an intimate meeting of a good and wonderful Father with a needy child. In these secret meetings, we get to know the true character of the loving Father, and every day our love for him grows. But something else happens. We receive the touch of his character on our inner beings. We leave each meeting a little more like the Son. We are being conformed to his image. We seem to desire more than he desires in disdain. We seem to desire more what he desires and disdain what he desires. He disdains. This is true prayer. We enter the secret chambers not to get something from God. We enter to get to know the true and living God. Look, what did we sing? Our third song that we sang this evening was about conquering on and still to conquer. How do we conquer? By just following and knowing the King. He's already done the conquering for us. We just follow Him. It's not how fast I am. It's not how strong I am. It's by grace that we obtain the victory. And following Him means following Him into a relationship. And the best way we can have a relationship with God is through what, class? Prayer, communication. If you're going to grow a relationship, you have to communicate. How are we communicating in that secret chamber? Not to get something from God. We enter to get to know the true and living God. And as we get to know Him, we discover how good He is. The good Father blesses us with all the good things that we need. As a result, we have the joy and power needed to reach a lost and dying world. Evangelist Charles Finney says, "Search the history of the world, and you will find that where there has been most true prayer and the soul has been most deeply inbred with divine presence, there God has most abundantly and richly blessed the soul. Who does not know that holy men of old were eminent for usefulness and power according as they were faithful and mighty in prayer?" Again, I think at the end of this, that third song that we sang about conquering on and still to conquer, prayer is just us coming alongside our conquering King, is it not? I'm saying, King, where are you leading? I have an impression in my spirit to pray for this soul. King, give me victory. King, I need to know you. So, can I have my two piano players come up again? And I have to look this up. I should have looked it up. But I would like to sing "Teach Me to Pray," which is 346. In your red psalm books. "Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way." Is this the cry of Bethel Baptist Church? Look at that first verse. 346. "Teach me to pray, Lord." Is this our heart cry first, personally? "Teach me to pray. This is my heart's cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way." Now, isn't that good? I long to know my will and my way when I pray. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. "Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. This is my heart's cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in thee, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free. Power with men and power within. Power in prayer, Lord, power in prayer. Hear mid ear sin sorrow and care. Men least and dying, souls in despair. constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free. Power with men and power with thee. My weakened will, Lord, thou canst renew. My sinful nature thou canst subdue. Fill me just now with power anew. Power to pray and power to do. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me. Constant abiding, this is my plea. Thy power, boundless and free. Power of men and power with thee. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Thou art my partner, day unto day. Thou art my surety, now and for aye. Teach me to pray, Lord, teach me to pray. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me. Constant abiding, this is my plea. Power with men, boundless and free. Power with men and power with thee. All right. All right, that's good. Thank you. You can go back to your seats. Thank you. All right, prayer request this evening. Carolyn. All right, so let's pray for your mom's friend, that we praise God that it wasn't cancer, but we pray that the doctors will be able to swiftly take care of the parasite that is eating her liver. Please let us know how that goes.